I just kept telling that to myself. If I don't know what's in front of me, if I'm not sure what's in front of me, what am I scared of? You know, like, what am I scared of? You don't know. It could be good. It could be bad. So just go.
Today on Dirty Linen, we are coming to you from Melbourne lockdown number 4. We're just getting through it. We're grinding it out. And I'm really excited to bring into the conversation today one of my favorite people in Australian food. Her name is Christy Tanya. She is a pastry and dessert genius and the owner of Glacé Dessert. Christy, welcome to Dirty Linen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Christy, I think you've got a really interesting approach to business, to pastry, to life. Just tell me how you're feeling at the moment, what you're up to.
Well, we're surviving just like the rest of Melbourne, I think. But I guess it's let's say that my approach is that I just really hate to play victim. So I'm just always trying to see, like, okay, at this current situations, what could I do, you know, at this time, instead of feeling bad, because that's by default. Everybody is not feeling happy about this situation right now. We were tracking really well just prior to lockdown. We were getting closer to where we were before COVID, with all the new pivoting or whatever that you can so-called for. So right now it's just more like, okay, what can we do? What can we make the best out of these 2 weeks so that we would come out of it feeling a little bit better that we've done something about it, rather than like, oh, just moping for like 2 weeks. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I find that so impressive because people have put so much energy into adapting and changing, and, you know, you're still in hospitality. So you've got to put so much energy out into creating those experiences for others. So, I mean, that's a really impressive attitude. What are some of the things that you've been able to muster within yourself and your business?
Personally, I think it is being able to control myself. Most importantly, actually, my reaction towards a lot of things. Because, you know, normally myself before this probably would be just like really angry and quite angry, I think, would be the word, and will have a lot of like this bubbling up emotions inside, which eventually would just lash out to either my partner or my work, or it will just affect that. But now it's more taking control. Yes, there are things that we can't control, like, for example, this lockdown and things like that. But even so, it's more like the control. What I meant is like to stock take on yourself, on looking at like, what can you do better? Every lockdown, when you come out of each lockdown, what can we do better after that? So that's what I think I learned personally, professionally as well, to be, I think it's for us a little bit more adept, you know, a little bit more in tune of what the market wants, because now it could be different. You know, this lockdown, they want something different from the last lockdown. The sentiment and the temperature and the vibe of the customers themselves. And on the same time, after every lockdown, the customer is getting more understanding, I guess, about the situation that we are in, and we keep pushing the envelope too. So there is that seesaw kind of balance that I found really refreshing in the every time a lockdown ends.
Great. Oh, my God. I just love that you've even used the word lockdown and refreshing in the same sentence. It is very inspiring.
We have to. I mean, like, there's nothing else that we can do. At least the one thing that I can say is that Victoria, as business owners, I think we are mentally a lot more a lot more. We have calluses, you know, like we have our bruise and we have our scar, you know, the war scars, that we would be a lot more stronger than probably our counterparts in other states.
That's so true. And I guess, you know, in some ways that's got to end up being an advantage.
It has to be, you know, like it has to be, whether in your personal life or your professional life, you have to come out stronger. That's just my, that is just like what I tell myself. You have to. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess what's the choice?
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
So for people who don't know, Christy, you know, much about what you do, can you just tell us, give us a bit of a rundown on the various strands of your business?
So myself, As a professional, is I guess you can say that quite a multitude of layers of where I come from. Obviously, like I'm a pastry chef, so I'm in terms of hospitality, I'm trained through and through classically in pastry. So I before this, obviously, I worked for multiple restaurants and hotels, and eventually in 2017, I opened my own business, Glacé. That business itself evolved. When I first opened, it was concentrating just on ice cream cake, because I think like that area, I thought that area was sort of like not really explored much. And as the time goes now, we are 4 years into the business, we basically offered everything under the sun of dessert. Just itself, we've evolved a lot. Prior to become a pastry chef, I was a business consultant. When I started and lived in Singapore prior to coming to Australia, so I was a business transformations and strategy consultant with IBM, and that's sort of what I gave up to become the chef. And interesting enough, around a year before the lockdown, I was approached by Next Group, who is now the they have a first five-star flagship hotel in AD Collins. And I have been part of their team as their F&B consultant since then, and basically helped them opening the business and their business and their F&B strategy till now. So like it's quite multifaceted. So there has so many different layers. So I'm an operator, but in for my business, but I'm also more on the strategy level and looking at on the higher level as well for the hotel group. So it's quite mushed.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, what do you think you've brought from your experience in the corporate world into hospitality and running the kinds of businesses that you do?
Well, there's two things, you know, like when you were in hospitality, I mean, especially when it's your own business. So I'm in two sides, right? One side is my business, it's my baby, you know, and the other side, I'm advising other people's business. So, and I learned from each in a way that I got reminded, you know, like in my position as being a consultant, that especially in a hospitality where you're in, it is a business of passion. It is a business of people, like you don't get into hospitality if you don't have passions towards it. And the loophole in having passion is that you put your head into the sand, you know, you put your heart and soul to it. And sometimes it is hard to look at it on a third party point of view. And that just gets you into the grind. And that's what makes people got burnt out, or just lack of creativity, or just, you know, this blah feeling that we all feel right now during lockdown. Being a consultant, it made me realize that, hey, Chrissy, pull out your head a little bit. Try to look at a higher level. Try to look at a bigger picture. And what would a third party do, you know, in this kind of situations? So that helped a lot, you know, during lockdown, because there are multiple times that I told my business partner and my partner in life as well. And I said, like, you know what, I just want to give up. And he always asked me like, okay, so have you given everything that you could? And what would you do differently? You know, you are very smart, you know what to do in terms of business. And that always helps. And when I become a consultant for the hotel, it also wearing the mentality of like as a business owner, that I can advise them, well, if I were you, this is what I would do. So it's kind of like a good balance of both. So something that I think I really also told a lot of my business owner friends, that it is always good to look for a third party opinions, especially those who have been on a boat, on the same boat with you. Yeah.
So do you talk to a lot of other business owners in the Australian or Melbourne hospitality world and sort of bounce ideas around?
Yes, I do. And the beautiful part of it is that I call my friends, like we're not small business owners, we're like micro business owners, you know, like when we own a business that probably employ less than 15 people, right? And but we're not just, I have friends not just in hospitality world. I also have like business owners friend in those who own gyms, you know, like, and those who own also consulting companies and tech also, you know, like even writers and things like that. It helps to also for them to bounce ideas. Sometimes I want to kill them, you know, because they suggest things like, what makes you think I haven't done that? You know, but it is a good it is a good sounding board, because like if you're in hospitality as well, as much as I love all my hospitality friends, you could hear really refreshing also, like, you know, ideas and suggestions from people who are not in the industry. Sometimes those people are the people that could be quite crucial in opening your eyes to see your industry and your business from another perspective.
Yeah, I think that's so wise. So, Christy, what's an example of something that you've changed, you know, something that, whether it's from this lockdown or a previous lockdown, we have so many lockdowns to choose from. Give us an example, whether it's something specific about, you know, a new dessert or a new approach to serving people. Like, what are some of the changes that you've made?
Well, definitely, we evolved from like ice creams, and then we have desserts, and obviously I was trained in France, so all of my cakes, you can see they're like petit gâteau, entremet, things quite refined, things like that. And then when it comes to lockdown, I was like, okay, people want something that is just like comfort. What do I do? You know, like, so even during the lockdowns, I made cinnamon scroll. We made like this loaded babka for this current lockdown that had been really successful, actually. Things that I didn't touch before. I even made macaroni and cheese, you know, like to sell to people.
Wow.
Yes, it's just that, like, look, I like it. Maybe people would like it. Let's just try. And that just pushing, you know, like making something that honestly I really like as well. And people that, you know, I pass it to my friends and they all love it. And I'm like, you know what, why don't I just try to sell? So that is one, you know, that's from the aspect of product. So I do try something different as well. And then second as well, how to present the value, you know, like we made changes in a way that even our pricings for our products, when it comes to post-lockdown and things like that, we were thinking, okay, so when it's perceived value, people understand that right now we don't have enough customers like before, you know, we don't have the amount of customers like what we had before. The cost of everything is going up, you know, like of product materials and things like that. And I've just decided, you know what, we need to create a niche for ourselves. You know, we just have to create products that it is ourselves. You know, it's not something that, oh, I'm not in a business of competing with anyone else. It's I'm in a business of being myself. So that's basically what I've realized because of this lockdown. And because I'm in a business of being myself, being ourselves, and the product is ourselves, let's charge the price of not what we think people should pay or something, but let's charge the price of what is that price, the actual price, you know, like of the cost for us to create this cake, to create this desserts for you, the actual cost for us to be able to afford this list, to be able to pay our staff correctly, you know, and things like that. And when we change that way of looking at things, people come together, you know, like our customers, there's no complaint, there's nothing, they understand what we're doing. So in terms of that, the lockdown made us realize like yeah, we just have to be ourselves in a way of this business. Yeah.
Wow, that's so powerful. I mean, was that scary to make that decision and to raise the prices just to charge the true cost of what it was that you were making?
It's yes and no, you know, in a sense that like it's scary because look, it is like we were looking at each other, my partner and I, we look at each other and we said like, okay, so this is I like pastry shops, like to do this is quite ballsy. And then on a second hand, but we also think like, you know what, no, I think we're done undermining ourselves. It's either you're being part of the problem or you're being part of the solution. So if you're not taking this price, then you don't understand the kind of effort and the kind of energy and the kind of cost, to be honest, that business owners have to bear in this country, in this state, and also like with whatever that has passed behind. So then you're not our customers. It's as simple as that, you know. So if you stick to what you believe in, eventually you will siphon off those that is not your customer, and you will be left behind with really loyal customers, and
yeah,
you do end up with that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Because you don't want, yeah, you, the customers that are going to come and stand there and go, oh my God, is that really $12?
It's we like, did, yeah.
You don't want those people coming up to the counter. You don't need that energy, right?
We did have people also who asked that kind of questions, like, are you serious? People are going to pay this much money for a cake? And then, and I was the one who's there, you know, like that's also about micro business owner that you're there, you know, you're there, you're mopping the floor and things like that. And you got told this kind of things from people. And this feedback, as much as it hurts, it also made you realize like, yes, it is that the markets, there is still areas in the markets that we haven't tapped. There's still areas in the market that we haven't even educated. Imagine if we can educate people, you know, like about the value of me being a pastry chef, right? Like the value of pastries, the value of desserts, petit gâteau. If I can do that and make people understand this market, specifically Melbourne, understand that how the same, like how they would appreciate as well going out to some of really fine dining restaurants. If I can educate them to that, will be good. So I mean, like, we're closing the gap of what we have as a culinary industry here, dessert market here in Australia comparatively to dessert market in France where I started in, you know. So if we can close that gap, I just see that as an opportunity. When people say that, you know, like, I can't believe people paid this much, it's like, well, believe me, one day you will.
Christy, you're obviously really big on personal responsibility and, you know, being accountable, not playing the victim. What kind of behavior do you see around you, whether it's in your customers or in other business owners, where you feel like people could actually take a bit more responsibility?
Well, it's just, like I said, everybody was angry and everybody was, and I'm not blaming that, you know, like everybody doesn't want to be in this position. Like it's been four times we're in this position, you know, like my father has, like, you know, I have tiger mom, I have tiger dad, so being Asian, right? Like, so he kept telling me, like, you know, only donkey falls into the same hole twice. And I'm like, well, four times. So I don't know what kind of creature we are, but I think it's all in the I think we're being complacent, you know, like as every one of us, you know, the behavior has been like, we've been pointing fingers. And to be honest, I'm exhausted to see that. The reason is because we're not in his situation because of one government's fault, one or the other, you know, like we're in these situations. All of us have a play in that. Being someone who's hands-on in the business, and I was there, I've shop in a city, I shop in the suburbs as well, you know, like in the suburbs, and especially in the I'm really grateful, you know, like we were busy, we came into the point where we were almost where we were before pandemic. But also going around in the city as patron, as someone who's going out to restaurants almost every week and things like that. And I look around like, it's like we forgot. It's like we forgot that we were still in the middle of pandemic. It's like we forgot that we haven't been fully vaccinated yet as a population. We haven't been fully protected yet as a population. I remember I went to a really busy restaurant with my best friend, and it was packed. This is like, I think, around 2 weeks before the lockdown. It was like my seat to the next person was just like 5 centimeters probably. It was really packed. So I'm just like, okay, I think we forgot, you know. So when we were so angry, I think it's good to have a stock check and also to look back to ourselves. Like, were we part of the problem? If we were, then can we blame other people as well about this? You know, like, what can we take from this? So when we came out of it, that we don't go to number five, you know? So if it means that still spacing people means that we cannot get the same money as like what we did before by squeezing people in, and it means that we have to do, you know, set menu or something, or minimum spend or things like that, so be it. Until that we got fully, you know, not fully, I mean, the majority of us are protected. If that is the price, like what I said before, if that is the price that we have to pay, let's do it, you know, rather than going again to number five. So that's just what I think of, like, what's happening before and what I wish we can learn again when we come out.
Yeah, I suppose it goes back to what you were saying at the start. It's like you control the things that you can control, and what you know, the things that we can control are maintaining that social distancing, the personal hygiene. If you can get vaccinated, get vaccinated. I can't control hotel quarantine. But there are things that I can control. And I suppose it's that hygiene. It's checking into venues when you visit them. It's getting vaccinated when we can get vaccinated. It's all those things that we can control.
Yeah, the making sure that people are checking in with the QR code, because so far as I can see, like, it's really almost like voluntary basis that, you know, if they checked in or not, or that enough gap from one to another not to be so, you know, cooped up together, paying attention to your staff if they're sick or something, you know, like maybe tell them, like, do not come to work, you know, like it's this is not the time to like soldier on and just go to work and things like that. So it's really, what can we do to minimize these situations, you know, like what can, like what we were doing today, maybe we're talking about vaccinations. It is something that people do by choice, but I'm open to have both conversations, you know, with people who are against it or people who are still confused about it, whether they want to take it or not. You know, like I have multiple conversations like this with other people. Like I'm like, it's your decision, but at the end of the day, have two sides of the story. At least, you know, that we try our best as well to educate people about why we got vaccinated. And yeah, just play a part. Like I said, like play a part of the solution, because I don't believe in victim mentality, really. I don't believe in that.
Yeah, I think it's really powerful. Tell me what you're excited about in terms of pastry at the moment, Christy. You mentioned the loaded babka, which I've seen a photo of that. It looks insane. What other kinds of things are ticking over in your mind at the moment?
Well, we are doing, and this is also one thing that is in my head, I'm thinking of, every business owners will look into their business model and keep thinking of like, how do I make my business model a little bit more bulletproof, a little bit more, you know, like independent in a way. So we've done, coming out also from the each lockdown, it was quite interesting because from all of my circles, all the chefs, so I have a lot of like non-pastry chef friends, you know, like basically savory chefs, and they all called me, like the business owners, and said like, oh Christy, do you have pastry chefs? Because like everyone in the industry, we're all short staffed, right? Like everybody, this is a known thing, not in industry, even like the whole country. I have friends who also work in admin, you know, like in university, and even then we don't have enough staff. So my friends would call me like, hey Christy, do you have pastry chefs? And my answers to them, it was funny because it was like one of the first one I said, like, I don't have pastry chefs, but I have pastries, but I have desserts. Mm-hmm. So, and then it just like a light bulbs got into like all of my friends' head, like, you know, they was like, why don't I make you do it? And I'm like, yeah, you know, like, why don't you? Because to be honest, like we can, there's an area, there's a niche area over here that I know that I have, you know, like I can be your consultant. I can do, basically I can produce for you, you know, at the scale that of course it's going to be cheaper because of the economy of power that I have. Like, you know, if I buy puree, for example, of my fruit, I don't buy 5 kilos, like what a restaurant would do, or a single restaurant or a single, you know, cafe would do. I would buy like 20 kilos or 50 kilos at one go. So that's already a kind of like saving that I could pass to like, to my friends. So this ticking along, and then in the end, it managed to, you know, like to, it start to seed out, it start to sprout out, and then we develop our own catalog and things. We just finished it before this lockdown, you know, like, of course we already have the agreements with some other restaurants and cafes, but we were about to launch this, where we basically tell all of the other businesses alike that, hey, we are here for you. Just think of us like an Uber for pastry, where we have the experts, which is us, you know, like myself and my partner combined, we have more than 20 years of like in dessert. We'll come to you, we'll just adjust, you know, like we'll custom to whatever you want. We give you the mise en place, you know, and everything, even like the whole dessert if it's needed. and you get consistency, you have no problem with like hiring, let us worry about hiring of pastry chefs. And then also because of that, the people that we hire, most of the people that we hire, the pastry chefs, actually just want to learn to become good pastry chefs. And that's what they manage to do. They have, they learn from doing productions for boutique to cafes to restaurants. They have pretty much good hours, you know, like because they work. I don't think any of my guys work like the most when it's the craziest time that we work was like 9 hours that we had to work. And that's still, they still have like 30 minutes break. And they got their life. So it's like win-win for everyone. So we were developing this. But now
that's amazing. Now, I love that.
Yeah, coming out of the fourth lockdown, I have another business in mind because it's like, okay, I need something that is unlockdownable. Because this, like even the wholesale, it's still lockdownable. So it just keeps you ticking. It's always there. It's always there at the head.
I love it. And I love the idea of doing the mise en place for restaurants doing desserts because, I mean, I do have a little twinge of sadness about restaurants that buy a completed product in. I don't know. I feel like that's not why I go to a restaurant, is so that they can buy something from somewhere else. But this idea of buying, getting the mise en place and getting those economies of scale that you can, as you say, with, you know, the fruit puree or the chocolate or whatever it is. And, but there's still the restaurant is part of that process with putting it together. To me, that feels, yeah, a little bit, it just feels better.
Because you think like if a restaurant just buy it in, that's something they're just taking off the shelf, right? So, but this is no, this is, if it's restaurant A, it is restaurant A's creation. It is absolutely theirs. I'm there just as a consultant, as a guidance, you know, and telling them like, okay, why don't you do this, this and this, you know, like, and then you can get this price. And if you get this and this, you can get this price. And then also think of the aspect of like when you plate it, I even went there and have a look at their place, you know, like, okay, this is how you can store it. We even discuss how you store it, how you plate it and things like that. So that's, it's theirs. It's not mine, you know, like, and that's also like, it's not mine. It's theirs. It's completely theirs. It's just that instead of, it's just like they outsource the pastry chef, not the product. It's like they outsource the pastry chef. So it's just utilize me as a pastry chef for all of you, you know, like if you could hire me, why wouldn't you? Sounds a bit cocky, you know, but it was like, if you could hire me, why wouldn't you, right? Like, I'm here and I'm willing to do that for you.
Well, honestly, like outsource the pastry chef that they cannot hire anyway because there's no one to be found. So, it's got to be a win.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, Christy, we're entering the second week of lockdown number four. We all hope that it's going to be lifted. We don't know, though. We are living in such uncertainty. My fingers and toes are definitely crossed. But just give us a bit of a pep talk as we go into this week, a bit of a mindset pep talk for people who work in hospitality, for people who love restaurants. What kind of attitude can we bring to this week that's going to set us up well?
I couldn't agree more than what you said. It is uncertain. It is absolutely draining. It is absolutely scary, you know, like, because it is just make us lack of confidence. Everything that we planned before, everything that we wanted to do before, we might hold back because we just don't know if it's going to be lockdown again, if it's going to be like extended again. And even if it's not, is it going to be the last? You know, that's always people's question, right? Is it going to be the last? And how long is it going to go like this? I would just say, like, just have faith in humanity in a sense that we see the bounce in testing, in vaccinations. People are willing to roll up their sleeves, you know, and say like, okay, vaccinate me because we had enough of this. So it gets there. But one thing that every time people ask me like, okay, we're not sure what's going to happen. We're not sure, we're scared. It's like almost like a PTSD, you know, like because you keep getting whacked and you keep going back. You don't know if you're going forward, you're going to get whacked again. So it's almost, I just have to say like, if you do not know what will happen in the future, how could you be scared of that? You know, like how could you be scared of something that you don't know yet? So you owe it to yourself if whatever in the future, you don't know if it's going to be better or be worse, but of course we don't know, right? But even if there's a remote chance of where we are going, you know, like as an industry, is going to be better, which I absolutely believe we would, I mean, how, come on, we would be better, then you owe it to yourself to fight for it. I think that's just what I think we all have to do. You know, like if it's even the position where you will be 5 weeks from now, even if there's a remote chance it will be better, which I believe it will be, go on, just fight for it.
That is so powerful. I love that. What a fantastic attitude to carry us all forwards. And I also really appreciate and absolutely adore this faith that we can do it and that we are going to get through it together. We've heard it a lot of times, but I think it's still true. We do have to trust in the collective and in the power that we have to take control of what we can control, do our best to think positive, and yeah, to go on. It's so good, Christy. I love it.
Yeah, the most important part is, and I'm also a victim to that, you know, like of being scared, of it's so scary and it's so overwhelming that you become, you can't move, that you become static. You just become like, it's like you want to cocoon yourself. And if that's what you need to do for now, do it, you know, like I am doing it. I take 2 days off. Like normally we don't do that. I mean, like, okay, this lockdown, 2 days off, we're just going to close. We just take that time to cocoon ourselves, right? But don't let that be something that stop you from going forward. I just keep telling that to myself. If I don't know what's in front of me, if I'm not sure what's in front of me, what am I scared of? You know, like what am I scared of? You don't know. It could be good. It could be bad. So just just go. You know? Like what am I scared of? Yeah.
Awesome. And when in doubt, have a loaded babka.
When in doubt, have a loaded babka. When in doubt, wash your hair.
Christy, it's just been such a pleasure and a privilege to talk to you and get your perspective. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with everyone. I know it's going to mean a lot to people. But, yeah, really great, and all the best. And, yeah, we'll stay in
touch.
Thank
you. See you, Danny. Have a good day.
This is Dirty Linen and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about. We spend a week thrashing around each issue, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.